This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us. On this edition, we have two big events this week. One other event this week. We've got the Hero Indian Open and the Valspar Championship.
So we've got two events.
Full coverage on the podcast here. Valspar Championship, of course, on the PGA Tour. The Hero Indian Open is a co-sanctioned event and is part of the European Tour as well. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall with you. Full coverage this week. And we'll start, as always, Mike, with a reflection quickly on last week. And the WGC in Mexico was terrific, I thought.
Great course, wasn't it? Really good. But as we speculated, it looked like a course that wouldn't suit the bombers and would be tree-lined and you need to hit the greens and all that kind of stuff and be accurate. And yet they were all bombers near enough at the top of the leaderboard. How often does that happen? You think that it's not going to be an advantage to hit it a long way, and it just is. It's a bit like your US Open theory, Dave, isn't it?
Yeah. I think sometimes people are a bit kind of down on bombers as if that's all they can do, but clearly, you know, they're not just like, they're not just in the studio being long drive champions, are they? They've got other great bits to the game. As they put the two together, they're hard to stop, aren't they?
Mm. I thought it was a terrific week. I mean, you could write 10,000 words on Phil Mickelson's travails alone last week, because the coverage of Mickelson was incredible, and I found it thoroughly entertaining watching him trying to manufacture shots from positions that you didn't know existed on the property.
No. He was comical when he was having a conversation with the guy from the bush, wasn't it? It was somewhat surreal. This is sport, kids. Come and watch golf. Look, there's different views about his drops, isn't there, and things, and people are not that happy about it, but it made for an interesting view. I thought it was a great course. The crowds were big, and it's there for another few years, and that's great.
It was brilliant, the fact that it was a tree-lined venue, but if you got into trouble off the tee, you could still manufacture shots from difficult positions, and it was really a shot-maker's golf course. And we saw a brilliant winner as well, Dave, in Dustin Johnson, who is going from strength to strength, and is he the man to beat now at the Masters?
Well, possibly. You say about if you hit it into the trees, that's obviously something you can do at Augusta National. Hit it in the trees because the branches are quite high, so you can bend, you know, shots around them and things like that. And yeah, last week it was kind of that quirky theory that people trying to come up with all these ideas and then just the world's best player won.
Yep.
I don't know. I've always had this slight doubt that maybe his brain would just switch off at Augusta National for like three or four holes and it might do him in.
He seems to be maturing now, though, doesn't he? I think I'd have had that same opinion maybe 24 months ago, but now...
But as well, he's almost got shots in. I mean, after that first round, he wasn't really going anywhere and you thought it's not his week, but it was just a question of time, wasn't it, before he caught up.
And he didn't put well, did he, on the week?
No, there was
really some
stat where he missed...
Not from inside 10 feet, anyway.
Which is a funny stat, isn't it? Because that could be anything from like 1 inch to 9 feet.
Yeah.
11, whatever the measurements are. But I think only him and Sean O'Hare had won an event missing that many putts before from that range.
Inside 10 feet.
Yeah. Is that right? Yeah.
So basically his tee to green game was immense.
He's certainly getting the hang of Augusta, isn't he, the last couple of years?
Yeah.
From the stats that I've just brought up in front of me, as I couldn't remember what he'd done there. But six and a fourth last 2 years, getting closer, isn't he?
You can almost guarantee how Augusta's going to go this year. I think it's going to be him up there, Spieth up there, Matsuyama up there. I think it's going to be a real fight out between the big guns, I think.
I hope so. Let's get stuck into this week then. We've got the Hero Indian Open, first of all. Annie Bandler here. Have you got a strong opinion on the Masters, Mike?
No, that you there? Have, David. I thought you were going to say it, but
no,
you didn't.
I'm not going to say it.
All right, then. For another day.
Annie Bandler here is 8-1 to win the Hero Indian Open. Rafa Cabrera-Bayo is in the betting at 10-1. Peter Uihlein is 16-1. George Kutsaya, 20-1. Shravankar Sharma is 22-1.
What?
Jordan Smith is 25s, along with Jorge Campillo. Kirede Kapibanrat is 25-1. Romain Langasque is 25-1. And it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. Annie Bandler here, Mr. Tindall, is at the top of the betting here. And his comments into the lead up to this championship have told us more than the European Tour website in many ways, because you're trying to locate information about, and this course is a new course, the Gary Player course at DLF Golf and Country Club, new golf course this year, completely different to the New Delhi course that has been hosting the championship.
Yeah,
you can't find much online about it, really.
No, they are chalk and cheese. Basically, the course they've been on the last few years, it was short, it was tight, it was irons off the tee, and the local Indian players, a lot of them, like prime example being SSP Chaurasia, or Racia, however you say it, that was made for him. But this is a much longer course. Lahiri says it's more European in style, it's wider, longer holes. Although you've told me I had to write a preview elsewhere with going off the length off the European Tour website, and apparently I was out by about 300 yards.
Yeah, there are a lot.
Even though that's what I got it from.
There were a lot of suggestions.
Their own site.
That the course measured 7,657 yards.
Yeah.
But Richard Kaufman, who's a commentator and he covers the European Tour, a lot of the Asian events, the co-sanctioned events,
yeah,
he's tweeted a picture of the scorecard, and this has been corroborated subsequently, suggesting that the golf course, or not suggesting, the golf course does measure 7,373 yards. So it is a 300-yard difference, which I suppose you look at the numbers that you'd posted and you're thinking, well, you've got to have a bomber onside here. But maybe it's slightly different.
Slightly. I still think there is some serious yardage in this course, and it is a lot. Last year's was sub 7,000, which you don't get many of. So I do think it's going to move away from the kind of short hitting, sort of local player that did so well last time. I mean, Lahiri, he came tied fifth, the only Indian to have a top five in a major, fact. he came tied fifth in the 2015 USPGA, which was on a long course at Whistling Straits. So I think he'll be fine on it.
Yeah, I think he will as well. I'm going to be intrigued by this tournament because I'm not sure how the players are going to respond to the golf course. Some are maybe suggesting in the lead up to the championship that it's a slightly tricked up venue.
Yes.
Those huge cavernous bunkers lining the fairways. And then I've seen other comments suggesting that it's a real test and it's going to be a lot of fun to play. So I suppose the proof in the pudding will be in the eating after the 4 days.
Yes. Chambers Bay, wasn't it? I've had a couple of people have said to me Chambers Bay, as in it will court the same controversy.
Yeah.
And half of the battle there was going in with a good attitude. Some players saw Chambers Bay in the build-up and thought, oh, what a load of rubbish this is. And they played. It was sort of self-fulfilling, wasn't it? Where others who thought, well, this is what we've got in front of us. So, you know, it might be a chance to go through players on Twitter and just see what they're saying. You'll have a look. Chris Hansen was positive about it. He's won.
Yeah. So that's one. That's one.
Tick him in the plus box. I've seen quotes from how do we say his first name? Fachara Kongwatmai.
Yes.
He said that he is a high ball hitter and he can land it on these hard greens. So he liked the course.
That is interesting.
But they are 2-0.
Yeah.
For guys who like it.
Those are the two we're backing this week. Then Kongwatmai and Chris Hansen, 33-1 and 80-1 respectively. Have you got a pick for the event, Dave?
No, I think it's one of those ones you need to have a look. I mean, I'm completely, having already been told the course is 300 yards shorter than I've had to sort of reassess already. So I want to see a morning of action.
It knocked all his algorithms out.
Will you be watching this one with a keen eye?
My lab coat on.
I won't be watching it even with a normal eye, let alone a keen one. So no, I'm not that energised by it. I haven't had a massive look at it. I looked at it and I thought, right, onto the Valspar.
Yeah, there's a couple of players I just want to mention. I do like Kongwatmai, 17 years old, already looks like a star in the making, doesn't he? Finished runner-up twice on the European Tour already. And Jordan Smith, who's continues to make cuts, good rookie season so far.
Just a good player, isn't he?
Yeah, just a very good player. He should contend. He's 25-1. And the other one, Scott Hend, I quite like the look of 40-1 this week. I mean, he's got a very good record on the Asian Tour, and this golf course should be right up his street, really.
I think I was more into him when I thought the course was longer than it was.
Yeah.
And
you've ruined his day.
I'm really quite upset.
Does it make that much? 300 yards? Not that much, is it, do you think? Does that worry you?
It's a big difference, isn't it, when you're talking about a golf course that measures nearly 7,700 yards, and you think 7,700 takes a lot of the shorter hitters out
right,
of it, whereas 7,300, those guys come back into it, don't they, a little bit?
It's moved from longish. It was moved from super long to longish, I think, in reverse. But Peter Uhlein's played well in India before. He's another one, might go well.
16 to 1 is a little bit skinny, isn't it?
Might go well, should go well.
Yeah.
Could go well, he's guessing. Mm. So I would sit and watch the morning's action on day one and then reassess.
Let's talk about the Valspar Championship, the feature event this week then. And Henrik Stenson and Justin Thomas, 10 to 1 joint favourites here with William Hill. Bill Haas, Daniel Berger, Gary Woodland, Matt Kuchar, Patrick Reed and Ryan Moore, all 25 to 1. Last year's winner, Charles Schwartzel, is 33 to 1. And it's 40s bar. We've got a continuity here with Copperhead Course in Innisbrook once again hosting the championship. Quite different, Mike, to the other Florida courses in this swing. It's an old school track with tree line fairways, one that rewards good ball striking, and it's difficult as well. Winning score last year when Schwartzel won was 7 under par, and no player in the last 4 years has broken 10 under par for the week. You generally think that because it's tree lined, or I do anyway, you think driving accuracy is significant, but that's not really the case here. It's a good golf course and a good test for these players.
It's a good test, but I don't think driving accuracy or distance are particularly priorities this week. I would say that the starts that I particularly like, Dave, this week are the Strokes tee to green start. Is a good one if you look at the last couple of years. Strokes gained approaching the green is also a nice one this week. And I think when you're looking at such low scores, something like bogey avoidance is also worth having a look at. And par 3 scoring is fairly important here. Mm. Also, par 3s are pretty important here, I think. But yeah, you know, this isn't a bomber's course for sure. And it's not that dreadfully important to be accurate off the tee either. So it's a second shot course probably.
And Dave, I've got it in my mind that the switch from the WGC in Doral to Mexico last week, that golf course in Mexico shared some similarities with Innisbrook, perhaps, in the fact that it's tree-lined and scoring was quite difficult on the week as well. Just wonder whether those players that played in the WGC in Mexico have a little bit of an advantage having played a tree-lined golf course last week.
Possibly, it's our theory. I mean, this is a slightly different course as well. You read the reviews, like top 100 courses, Golf Digest, a lot of people say this is more like a Carolina course because it's more undulating, more tree-lined, where Florida's normally more flat, isn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe you could look at that and, maybe it is a bit more like the one in Mexico.
I've got one pick.
Me too.
Yeah, I've got one.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
3 picks then for the Valspar Championship. Mike, do you want to lead us off here?
All right, then I'll go first. I did have a long, hard look at two players that I've picked a couple of times lately, Bill Haas and Gary Woodland.
Yeah.
They're both a little bit short. I just want to have a look at tee times and mull over whether I back one of them before the start. Haas I've done the last 2 weeks. He's got very strong credentials this week, but I just
had a mad little ending to one of his rounds, didn't he?
He was going so well and playing beautifully, and then he just, that was it. Gone, you know. It was so frustrating. It was really annoying because I thought he was with a massive chance last week. Because he's playing so well, you know, every hole he had chances and then just killed it at the end of a round, that was it. So I'll look at those two guys, definitely in running. But I'm going for Martin Laird is my sole pick at 80-1. Hasn't played that well here in the last few years, but he was fifth here in 2011. And I think that does that kind of downturn slightly coincides with a general downturn in his overall form. He did finish 33rd here a couple of years ago, but hasn't matched the fifth or anywhere near it since 2011. And ultimately, that is 6 years ago. But he is in very, very solid form. He's had top tens at the Safeway, the Career Builder Challenge, very nearly a top 10 at Mayakoba, also at Phoenix and in the Genesis. So in his last three events, he's seventh in the Phoenix, 66 at Pebble and eighth in the Genesis Open. He is, I think, coming back to good form again, Laird. I did like the look of him in that Genesis Open. All those stats that I mentioned earlier, he's very high on this year. Tee to green, these are strokes gained stats, I should say. Tee to green, approaching the green. Also playing very low on the bogey avoidance. He's 16th on that. Third on par 3 scoring. Doing well on par 5s. 80 to 1 in this field. I like his chance here. He's in very good form with three top tens in his last five outings. Not as sexy as some of the other players that I'm still mulling over backing as well pre-tournament. But for now, he's the only one I'm going to have a go at.
Martin Laird, 80-1 for Mike. Mike's sole selection this week. Dave?
Yeah, I'm looking past the leaders as well, the market leaders. I'm going to go for 50-1, Jason Duffner.
Yes.
He's my pick. So a classic player that you think of when it's ball striking, isn't it, Duffner? I've struggled a bit to really get someone this week and have someone leap out at me. So I looked at the kind of former winners of this tournament. Is there a theme? Well, the theme I saw was 7 of the last 14 had already won a major. So I think it does attract a quality winner.
Yeah.
Duffner obviously won the 2013 US PGA, so he ticks that box. We've seen Charles Schwartz and Spieth win the last 2 years. So that continued the major theme. So major winners do have a good record on this course. So Duffner, he fits that bill. And you look at his course record, it's kind of Charles Howell-esque almost. He never kind of banks the each way money, but 8 times in a row he's finished 28th or better.
Right.
So I just got to think, one of these years he's going to do better than that. He's had so many good rounds there. Really does like the course. He's on record saying, I love this golf course. And it's just, you look at those winning scores, you said Schwartz won with -7 last year. I think there's been 2 -7s and 2 -10s the last four years.
Yeah, there has, yeah.
When he was interviewed at the Career Builder, ironically a tournament that he's won with a much better score than that, he says, generally, my best tournaments are when the winning score is between -6 and -10. Mm. I mean, he wasn't referring to that, but that quote really does fit in to this week. So I just thought 50-1 was a decent price. He was 9th for greens in regulation in Mexico, finished with a 68. That was his third top 25 in a row. So I think he's got nice course form and nice current form without it being that attractive that it's blown his price. I think maybe if it was a little bit better on either side,
yeah, I get that,
he'd be 33s, 35, something like that. So I thought 50-1 was a fair price on Jason Duffner.
Very good. Jason Duffner, 50-1. I'm going with Cheng Sung Pan at 150-1 as my
Chinese
sole
Taipei
selection. Yes, indeed. I've been impressed with him so far this season. Former world amateur number one Pan, and it wouldn't be a surprise if he put a run together, to me anyway, this week. He finished tied for 6th in the RSM Classic, and he's tied for 2nd behind John Rahm in the Farmers Insurance Open. Was very impressive. Slight letdown after that, missed a couple of cuts, Pan, but found himself banging contention at PGA National at halfway in the Honda Classic last time out. Did drop away over the weekend to finish in a tie for 37th, but there were mitigating circumstances that week. He actually struck a spectator on the head on his 36th hole, 18th hole on Friday, and cut his head open quite badly, the spectator, and he said it was the worst he's ever felt on the golf course and didn't quite perform over the weekend. But he's a player with a hell of a lot of game. He's already contended on 2 difficult golf courses this season, and I thought 150-1 for such a talent was worth a speculative punt this week. So Cheng Sung Pan is my selection here.
Very good.
I thought one of you, well, probably Mike, would have picked another 150-1 chance. Can you quickly look and guess?
Cameron Smith?
Yeah.
Well, he's the next list player I'm going to mention, funny enough.
Yeah,
I was just slightly not sure whether the Florida Greens will suit him. The Bermuda Greens was one thing that was slightly on my mind.
Right.
But yes, very much so. On all the metrics I mentioned earlier, and he's not in bad form. He's kind of playing okay without looking.
Yeah, I think he's playing. Yeah. It wasn't that long ago that he was runner-up to Spieth in the Aussie Open. I know that's his home event, but it's another good sign. He was actually, I was looking, I think he played last year and was 42nd, you think, whatever, but he was actually 8th after round 1 and 15th at halfway on this course.
I didn't look at that, yeah.
I mean, I think it is one that should suit him. I mean, you always pick him, Mike, because he does well when it's a tough test,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, yes.
And I think that's what's on the menu this week.
Yeah, and he does, Dave, he absolutely ticks the boxes on those a lot of those stats I mentioned earlier, you know, tee to green, approaching the green, par 3s. Par fives. He's a very good player. So yeah, he was the next. I was literally just about to mention him. Yeah. So,
oh good. Yeah, because obviously he was fourth, wasn't he, in the US Open?
Yeah,
at James Bay.
Yeah.
And he's played 4 majors and made the cut in them all. So I think it definitely does suit him when it's a more tougher test.
Definitely. And Yeah, I probably won't let him go off 150-1 without backing him. Yeah. You know, have a few quid on him at least, absolutely. So yeah, I'm glad you mentioned him, Dave. He was the next player I was going to mention.
Who else do you like then, Mike?
Well, I mentioned Hassan Woodland, yep. The market leaders. You know, just I don't know what you think. Are they trustworthy enough to be backed at 25s in a field like this? I don't know. That's something I'm going to
look. We were saying off air, Gary Woodland was 28s in a World Golf Championship last week, so you could argue 25s in this field.
I suppose he was, wasn't
although
he?
We think it's,
well, I thought that was short, I must be honest. But
he has one here as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, 2011.
He has one here, yes, he has. So Bill Haas was second last year. They both play this event really well, and their games are in very good order in terms of the things that I think you need to win here. So I'll tweet if I back either of those guys. I need to just have a look at a couple of tee times, things like that. Webb Simpson was another one who was maybe on my mind.
Yeah, me too.
Big chance, I think, 50-1. Mm-hmm. I think that's a
major winner.
Yeah. Great record from 2010 to 2013 in this event as well.
Yeah, four top 20s. He was a runner-up to Woodland. I mean, if you're going through the major winners' ideas, Stenson you've got at the top, who pulled out of Mexico with food poisoning. But I looked, last time he pulled out of an event, he went on to win the next week. He pulled out of last year's US Open, winning in Germany the week after. So don't, if you like him, don't sort of go, oh, he might still.
And it's not, it was a stomach issue, wasn't it?
It's not like he's broken his
leg.
He
had food poisoning, basically. Yeah. It wasn't something that you'd affect his swing this week.
Very strange round, though, wasn't it? It was like, he started really well, then he just went on an absolute.
He kept missing putts from about 4 feet and stuff.
Yeah, it was all a bit odd. He three-putted from about 6 feet, didn't he?
I don't know what to make of it.
No. I think he'll bounce back. I prefer him to Justin Thomas this week, I think.
I think Thomas will play well this week.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do.
I thought his game was. I think his putting kept him in it last week, and I thought he was a bit
got
ragged.
Got a hump, didn't he?
Yeah,
he
got annoyed on Sunday. Very annoyed on Sunday, didn't he?
I mean, I know
that image, by the way, of him chucking his club and the shot tracker right on playing was brilliant.
I didn't see that.
Well, I'll show you after the podcast.
Fowler and McIlroy were sort of having a dig.
Yeah,
a little playful, little.
Were they
perfect on playing there? This will change, no doubt, as his career progresses. But he's won four times so far, and all his winning scores are kind of like -23, -26. They're -20 or. Higher or is it lower? I never know which one to say, but they're all. So he hasn't
birdie
yet. Won
fair
on a course.
That is a fair point.
Like this, when you go in down the list as well for major winner, Schwartzel. Well, Schwartzel's. I think he's a bit of a courses for horses type. He always wins that one at Leopard Creek, doesn't he? So he won last year. Maybe he could go well again at 33.
Yeah, we'd have a chance in that one though compared to this one.
I guess so. He actually tweeted he didn't like the course last week.
Really?
Yeah, he said. Didn't think that much of it.
Did right?
Because
most of the other players suggested that they thought it was a really good, solid test last week.
I thought Graham McDowell even could go well. Major winner, 66-1, not the worst price. Top 15 in the Honda.
Well, one more that I just want to mention very quickly. Harris English as well. I tipped him in this tournament last year at 33-1. And he's 80-1 this time around, Harris
English. Gone off the boil a bit, though?
He has gone off the boil a little bit, but he loves this golf course. I think if there's anywhere he's going to be rejuvenated, it might be here. He finished 7th in 2013, 10th in 2015, won an amateur event at this golf course as well. So he's one that does like the test. I've mentioned this before, he loves treeline golf courses, and he's 80-1. So I think that could be one of those prices that if he's in contention at the end of the week, you think, why didn't I back him at 80s? Because when he was 33s last year, big jump in price for him.
True.
Okay, I think that brings us towards our conclusion here. Who's the player you don't want to win this week, Mike?
Either of Haas and Woodland if I don't
back. Depends which one you don't back.
I might not back either of them. I'll tweet either way.
What are you pointing at?
Can you get the India prices up?
Oh, yes, okay.
Yeah, I'll be gutted if Shubhanka Sharma wins. What a great price. Can we have a new category in this podcast called Worst Price of the Week?
Yeah, well, I think that is. Yeah, you can. 22-1.
How is that?
Yeah, well, when you compare it with Pechara Kongwatmai,
at
33-1, there's no comparison, is there, in terms of which one you'd rather back this week.
It's almost like the compiler saying, look, we know who he is. He's quite good, isn't he?
I think that's the case this week, definitely.
22s is absurd.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Who's the player you don't want to win, Dave?
Gary Woodland as well. I fancied him last week, and he played a bit like a drain, really. He kept making sevens on par fives.
Started
which
badly, didn't he, if I remember right?
Yeah, that relatively fell away. And I liked him a lot last week just because of current form. So, you know, one bad tournament.
That altitude thing that he had, but didn't seem to be a factor at all, was it? You know,
no, I don't think so. No,
I'll be parking that one for next year.
Yeah, I think the players, they coped quite well, didn't they? Did and adjusted quite well to those. They've got good caddies, haven't
caddies
they?
Caddies yeah. These days,
yeah. But Dustin Johnson was working out his own average.
Yeah, which astounded me.
Yeah.
He's just a brilliant player, isn't he, Dustin Johnson?
Is he for the Masters now? Is he outright favourite?
Well, I presume he must be outright favourite now for the Masters. Speed, I haven't checked the prices here with William Hill. Let me have a quick glance at the prices for the Masters. Dustin Johnson, second in behind Jordan Spieth. 13-2 Spieth, Johnson 7-1, McIlroy 8-1, Jason Day 9, Hideki Matsuyama 10s and 20-1 and bigger the rest.
For all of that, betting aside, if you had to pick someone for your life, who would you pick?
Someone asked us this on Twitter, didn't they?
Yeah. Who'd you back, actually, which is another question.
Right.
But if it's someone for my life, it would be Spieth for me in this event because he's a sublime at Augusta, isn't he? I know he screwed up last year, but what do you think?
Yeah, I think it'd be Spieth as well. If I had to just pick one and the gun was to my head, I'd have to pick Spieth, taking betting out of it completely.
You'd have to because all his memories that I know last year, but we'll do something. But Rory's got messed up there.
Yeah, and Rory's. I thought this was Augusta was always in Rory's trap, but he's just not done it. Yeah, so he obviously probably will win there sometime, but he wouldn't bet on him for you. You wouldn't have him for your life, would you?
Well, he looked like winning last week, didn't he, Rory McIlroy, which we didn't mention at the beginning, but he went a short price to win the event last week.
He did, yeah. I think he might even have been odds on at one point. So
he was rusty though, wasn't he? You can forgive
and
him.
And he wasn't that well either, was he? I think didn't he have a little bit of
he had a stomach issue. I think over 50% of the field had some sort of stomach ailment at some point in the event. Tyrrell Hatton was tweeting about that as well last week.
The only thing I would say is that in response to that question on Twitter about who will win the Masters, the one player who was not very large price at Hill's 20-1, Bubba Watson. Bubba Watson is over double that with some people. I think Bubba.
Is he all right? What's happened to him? Where's he gone?
He's lost a lot of weight and he's not playing that well. He's lost about a stone, hasn't he, Bubba?
I didn't know that.
Well, that makes me think that he hasn't when you two are looking at me like I'm a lunatic.
Well, to be fitter or he's ill?
To be fitter, I think, And he isn't playing great, but if he got his act together, you know, he's another one who loves Augusta, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's running out of time. He needs to have a good next month, won't he, to get back to form. But you wouldn't have had him even at 20-1 this time last year. What would he have been this last year? 12, something like that.
Yeah, I want to see Phil Mickelson win the Masters.
Oh, that would be amazing.
He's 33-1.
It's not without a chance.
Well, he hit it all over the planet last week. He'll be able to get away with that a little bit more at Augusta. There was a lot of criticism about those drops, Mike, last week, but like you mentioned, it was blooming entertaining watching
it. Oh, it's great stuff, yeah. He's great for the game, isn't he? And if there's no Tiger, Phil's definitely number one entertainment value, isn't he?
Yeah. Let's recap the selections then for this week. Mike, you're picking the Valspar.
Just a point each way, Laird. I almost certainly will have a save on Cameron Smith. A very small one, probably, but then I'll be looking to tweet either if any of the market leaders, Hassel Woodland in particular.
I'm going a point each way, CT Pan at 150-1 as my selection.
Yeah, I'll go a point each way, Jason Duffner at 50s, and I'll have a look on the first morning in India to see what's going off.
You might tweet a bet then, might you?
Yeah, I might have a little go.
Be nice to have a selection in it, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where it is a new golf course and discretion the better part of valor, in all honesty. You go have a little bit of a look at the state of play after round one, perhaps.
If it's extreme and it does split opinion, the last time we said that was Chambers Bay and it ended up Jordan Spieth won there because his caddy knew the course really well, so maybe it might come back down to,
and it's Jordan Spieth as well,
some sort of angle.
Don't mention that. I bet Dustin Johnson, I'll never forget that.
No, that was unbelievable, wasn't it? That was one of the most exciting and excruciating ends an event, a major championship ever, I think.
Forgot how he hit the ball incredibly that final round. Dustin Johnson just messed up at the end. His ball striking was immense.
Yeah. If you want to follow any of us on Twitter, please do at Dave Tindall Golf, at M Grenham, and at D Kellner. And check out all the odds for the Hero Indian Open and the Valspar Championship this week. And we'll be back for more on the Golf Podcast next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.